Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, yes, indeed, by the grace of God, we do come to you on this Thursday, September 30th, with another message from God's Word. And we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're dealing with the very controversial subject of divorce. And it is a sticky subject, but it is in the Bible, and we need to deal with it. And we need to deal with it as honestly and as accurately and as helpfully as we possibly can, and that certainly is my desire. Paul begins by talking about divorce among believers, that is, where both husband and wife are Christians. He deals with that in verses 10 and 11. And he uses that puzzling phrase, "It is not I, but the Lord who is giving these instructions," which is going to be the opposite of what he says in the section that we're getting to for today. But we've already covered that. And what Paul means by that is that these instructions for Christian marriages are instructions that were given by Jesus himself when he was upon the earth. And there are several passages in the Gospels that you can go to for those instructions. Matthew 5, 31 and 32. Matthew 19, verses 3 through 9 as well, is Mark and Luke, and I'll not give those citations. So Jesus gave instructions, and he basically said, no divorce unless one of the partners has been sexually unfaithful within marriage, in which case divorce is allowed. And I don't have time to go back through it all and show you how I came to this conclusion, but it is also clear that in that case, remarriage is also allowed. That's the more sticky point. Not divorce, though that's somewhat sticky to some people, but the question of remarriage after divorce. That's the hard one, and that's the one we need to wrestle with and come to accurately understand what the Bible teaches. Well, I pause and welcome you to this Thursday, September 30 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and remind you that we do need your financial help if we are going to continue teaching God's Word on the station. Okay, divorce among believers, verses 10 and 11. Now to the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. Now, what next? Verses 12 through 16. And here, Paul deals divorce within mixed marriages. One is a believer, one is not. He starts out by saying, but to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Let's work down through this. Who is addressed in these instructions? And it is addressed, to use the exact words before me in verse 12, to the rest. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say. To the rest. And since he's already dealt with marriages of believers, husband and wife, both professing believers in Jesus Christ, then to the rest is to address those mixed marriages. Obviously, somebody in the marriage has to be a believer, or they're not going to be a member of the Corinthian congregation. They're not going to be hearing this epistle read to them. Paul is not going to be writing to them. He's not saying, he doesn't have anything to say to those who are completely outside of Christ and outside of the church. In other words, where neither marriage partner is a believer in Christ, but the rest or the remainder of the cases have to be those with a mixed marriage. If you don't have a unified marriage, husband and wife both Christian, then what's left? A mixed marriage. So that's the rest. That has not been addressed before by Christ, and that's what he means when he says, I say, not the Lord. He's not saying that these words are less authoritative than the others. That's a very common mistake. He's not saying, this is my opinion, but I don't know what opinion Jesus has about this, or what the Lord has to say about this. That's not what he's saying. He's simply contrasting the fact that what he said previously had been taught by Jesus upon the earth, and he is simply declaring to them what Jesus taught. They weren't there. They didn't know. They are Gentiles in the city of Corinth, many, many miles away from Judea, where Jesus taught these instructions about divorce. So, Jesus said this. It was not I, but the Lord, who said that a husband should not divorce his wife, and a wife should not divorce her husband. No divorce among believers, except immorality, which takes us back to the words of Christ in Matthew 5 and 19. But now, when he's addressing mixed marriages, he's saying, I'm giving you instructions from the Lord that the Lord didn't give when he was upon the earth. Paul is an inspired apostle, and he is not relinquishing that position and that authority in what he says here, but he is saying these are additional words, additional revelation, not addressed by Christ when he was upon the earth. Christ previously gave no command regarding mixed marriages, but now he does through his apostles, namely through the apostle Paul. And both of these instructions are equally inspired. The instructions that were previously stated, as recorded in Matthew 5 and Matthew 19, and the ones that are now newly restated, or not restated, but now newly stated, as are before us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And what are these instructions? Well, we can answer or ask a couple of questions, and that'll help us work through it. May the believer in a mixed marriage initiate a divorce? Answer, no. A believer must not initiate a divorce. If any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. A believer must not divorce his spouse. Mixed marriages are lawful marriages, and a Christian has no right to dissolve a lawful marriage. You say, well, what if there's immorality? Well, that takes us back to the exception that Jesus made in Matthew 5 and Matthew 19, and there's every reason to believe that that exception would apply here as much as it did there. But apart from that, no. The believer cannot initiate a divorce. The question probably was, are mixed marriages lawful marriages in the eyes of God? And here's the answer, yes, they are. A Christian husband may not divorce his unsaved wife if she's willing to live with him. A Christian wife may not divorce her unsaved husband if he's willing to live with her. If the unbeliever is willing to remain in the marriage should continue. You have to realize that these mixed marriages came about because when the marriage was initiated, when these two people first married, they were both unconverted. They were both pagans. They were both part of the pagan Gentile community in the city of Corinth. They were both worshipers at pagan temples. They entered into marriage under those conditions. Now, one of them has been gloriously saved. To this point, the other one has not. The real question is the unbeliever going to be willing to remain in that marriage? The unbeliever is not unlikely to say, this isn't what I bargained for. This isn't what I agreed to. This isn't what I entered into. I didn't marry a Christian. I married someone who worshipped at the temple in Corinth, the pagan temple, the idol gods, and entered into all of the festivities and community cultural activities that were associated with that. That's what I agreed to. That's what I entered into. And now everything's changed. You become a Christian, and you won't participate in any of that now. And therefore, you won't participate with me. And that leaves the unbeliever in a very, what should I say, a very altered situation, a very unsettled situation. So the question is, really, is the unbeliever willing to stay in this marriage? They're the ones that, in a sense, have a right to feel that they've been wronged, they've been cheated. The believer has no complaint. The believer knows exactly what they entered into, and though the Lord has saved them and not saved their spouse, they knew what they were marrying when they married their unbelieving spouse. The change now, of course, is within them. So the question is the unbeliever willing to remain in the marriage? And Paul is very clear, very emphatic, if they are, stay married. It is a lawful marriage in the eyes of God. And Christians have no right to dissolve this marriage. The marriage should continue. The question also arises, is the believer defiled in this marriage by the unbeliever? And the answer is no. Verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. The believer is not defiled by the unbeliever. The unbeliever is sanctified because of the believer. Sanctified means set apart for God's purposes, for God's protection, for God's provision, for God's stability in the home. And God blesses the unbeliever for the sake of the believer. And so, no, the believer is not defiled by the unbeliever, not at all. In fact, the believer may be an instrument in the hands of God to bring that unbeliever to faith in Christ. But we'll take that up tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.